Okay, excellent. All right, Whitney.
So welcome to the Aaron and Whitney show.
That's right. We need a new background.
I agree with that. Yeah.
The Aaron and Whitney show.
That's right.
Excellent. So today we have a bunch of questions like last time. And it's always great hearing your opinions.
Great hearing your opinions too.
Yeah. I definitely don't hear enough of your opinions.
Okay. I think that's, you hear them a lot.
Okay, so
you're the lucky one.
Yeah, exactly. So let's see what might be our very first question. Let us see what we got.
Yeah, so I have a few questions here. And the first one, we're going to be talking about today, generally, the concept of success. Success within yourselves and success more maybe monetarily or from a physical aspect, and then also successful people and maybe what makes them successful.
Great.
So the first question I have is, how would you define success?
I would say that's a personal question for sure. And the answer would depend on the individual themselves. But for me personally, I judge a person's success by their ability to set a goal and make it happen.
Nope.
And the more and more you do that, no matter what that goal is, no matter how big or how small that goal is, because even saying a goal is big or small is also subject to an individual's own ideas. So I could think a person's goal is small or large, but they maybe think it's like very, very small or very, very large. So everybody's own interpretation is, each person has a different interpretation. So what I would say is the accomplishment of any goal, and then showing myself and giving myself more confidence that I can do it and then continue to do so, increases that success level and increases that ability to have confidence in yourself and belief in yourself and also your partner. Because, you know, we sat down and we wrote down all of our goals. As I've said many times, about 8 years ago. And I was very incredible seeing that those were getting met one after another, after another, after another. And that was just like a cannonball effect or whatever, snowball effect.
That's a cannonball too.
It's a snowball effect. They just get bigger and bigger, and then you keep making bigger goals and bigger goals and bigger goals, and it just, until you can then decide to do huge goals.
Nice.
Yes.
So success to me is describing an individual or an activity, a company, something that has a lot of wins, right? And a win is when you decide to do something and then you do it. It's called the win, the W. Do the W. And so success is just able to make goals and meet them. Exactly what you're saying. So you have a lot of that, that would be successful. If you had 10 things you wanted to do and you achieve one of them, you had 9 losses and 1 win, probably that's not very successful, right? So like, okay, you say you want to lose weight, you didn't lose weight. You say you want to make a company, you never started a company. You say you want to get a raise, you never got your raise. You say you want to have a good relationship and not a toxic relationship, and you stayed in your toxic relationship, or you were single for your whole life. Or you said, hey, that night you wanted to go and enjoy some movie, and then you went to movie and you hated it, and like, you just have a lot of losses. That would be the opposite of success.
For sure.
Success is the opposite. You have, in any areas that you find interesting or valuable, you go after them, right? So it's like, hey, okay, let's have a baby. Boom, we're having a baby. Okay. Hey, let's like grow a company and like be able to have a full-time thing where we actually hire people and create our own income. Oh, good. We've done that. Oh, hey, let's do like a marathon. I haven't done the full marathon yet, but I did my first triathlon. I did a half marathon. Like, that's cool. Like, you make a goal and then you set it. Hey, let's have our kids like learn stuff. And I don't know, Luna did her like the piano performance and they did the other performance. And like, okay, that one is, one of them was like somewhat successful because they like choked on the day for the singing performance. I didn't totally take away on that one. I feel like we can adjust that.
They were moving their lips.
It was, yeah. I mean, it was okay. It was okay. I would say that's like a half win. But they also didn't have performance. We weren't properly prepared, but that's fine. Okay, it's like the house. Hey, we want to get you this amazing house. We got the house. Hey, so it's just each thing that you want to do, then you get it. Hey, we want to do like a fundraising event and raise, my goal was to raise $500,000. We raised $2 million, right? So, like, that's a win. Hey, I don't know. Let's hire more people so I could don't have to spend, you know, 10 hours a day. Have to. I could spend 10 hours a day working, but I don't have to. Oh, wow. Here we go. We have like over 50 staff, maybe 60, 70, whatever we have right now. And we're here physically in the office normally about half the day. And okay, good. That's a win. Like, does it mean I'm not working at home when I'm not here or I'm working at night? Of course, that's not what that means, but it's, I'm not frozen and stuck to this every moment and I can create things. Hey, let's buy companies. We bought, I don't know, 7 companies so far. That's cool. Hey, let's make a software company that'll help us. Boom. Oh, hey, let's hire people. Hey, we have now 4 developers up from 1 and that's going better and better. We have more signups. Like, these are just wins, number of wins. The more wins that you have, the more successful you are. Now, we've also said, hey, let's get to $1 billion in sales. We haven't done that yet, but if you were getting toward that, that would be successful. If your goal is to be the number one, I don't know, wrestler in the world, and you're ranked 1,000 and you go to 600 and then you go to 500, that would be successful because you're on the way to your goal. In my eyes, that is what success is, whatever you would like to do, right? It doesn't always have to be financial, right? Some people could be, hey, I want to lead some volunteer group or I want to, you know, change something and they're doing some activity that they like. But typically, whatever field that a person decides to be in, that's what they go after. And if they're achieving their goals, that would be success. That's how I would define it.
Excellent. I love it.
Great. So this next question, you both share a VIP lifestyle, meeting and connecting with extremely successful or high profile people. What present traits do you find these people share? Are there any common mindsets or actions which you think helped them find success in their chosen field? Not necessarily business exclusive.
Mm-hmm.
There's one thing that I've noticed that's been pretty common, and that is a sense of discipline to your goals and being disciplined. It's a mindset of just keeping at it and not stopping and not giving up. And I've noticed that it's actually pretty incredible the amount of entrepreneurs that we've met. And I can tell you, we're not the only ones that have had serious situations that we've had to deal with where we've almost lost the company like 2 or 3 times. So on the brink of bankruptcy. And we're not the only ones. This is not uncommon. So it's a discipline to continue to go and to do it and not stop and keep fighting, keep going and believing, having that belief in yourself. That's discipline.
Thanks.
Yeah.
I think the most common trait of the most successful people that I've noticed, the number one thing that sets people who are successful apart from those who are not, is just responsibility. Is saying between you and what you're trying to get to, if you know that you're the one who will make it happen, then that person will get there. If every person who's, let's say, not successful, it's never their fault. Like, it's because of somebody else. Hey, the government did this. Hey, things changed. Hey, I didn't have the opportunity. Hey, like, there's always an excuse. The top guys, when they go, hey, maybe, I don't know, 1 quarter they were down or, you know, something happened wrong, the ownership is there. They'll say, hey, listen, you know, 1 year ago, I spotted this one thing. This is what I did a year ago that led to this here now. Now I'm going to change that. And then going forward, that won't happen again because now we put these things in place. And they're always seeing how things happen because of them and what they're going to do to fix it, as opposed to blaming other people. And that's pretty constant. I mean, and also being able to find opportunities.
Wasn't
but that's
that
also
book that you
Extreme Ownership. Yeah, that's a good book. And essentially what they say is everything is your fault or because of you or whatnot. It's a good book.
Yeah.
And yeah, like the thing is, if something happened, well, who was in charge? Who was the boss? The thing is, you're in charge of your life.
Right.
And say, even with people with like troubled childhoods, let's say, if the person says, well, my father, my mother, my ex, whatever, all these people did this to me, now that is the reason why I am doing this and this, or why I blah, blah, blah. Well, the opposite will be, hey, I learned from this and this, and now I'm going to act this way. It could be the same exact scenario, the same exact household, but the way that you frame it and view it and the way that you're going to act, you can blame a person or you can just know, hey, no, I'm the one doing this.
That is so powerful, Aaron. You know,
that's what I've seen.
I've seen that. I totally agree with you. I completely. It's very powerful. It's all about the mindset.
And if you did it wrong because of someone else, you can't change it.
That's right.
If I couldn't sell because my competition was too heavy, because China was too hard, because blah, oh, because
it would be easy. I mean, that's the easy way. That's the idea that is like to be effect. It's just
Oops.
It's like quote unquote easier, but in the end, it isn't, because then you don't get your goals, and then you don't get successful.
I didn't get into Harvard, so I couldn't be a good
lawyer.
And
you know what's so unfortunate is that in the society today, it's pushed.
100%.
That idea that you're mentioning here is pushed.
100%.
To be effect instead of being cause. 100%. To say, oh, it's because of the government. Oh, it's because of...
Because I'm Hispanic.
Right.
Because whatever. It's because
I'm a girl.
It's because I haven't been told to I haven't been given my real identity of a female me.
Right.
And I'm in the wrong, I have the wrong gender. And so I cannot be successful. Literally,
It's the wrong why. And the problem is that people are so much in agreement with this, and we need to disagree. We need more people in this world to disagree with this stuff that I don't agree with. And decide that you are the cause. You are the one making it happen. And I think that is so powerful, because it all comes down to the person themselves and what's within them. And what's incredible is that each person there out there is infinitely capable of accomplishing anything that they could ever want in their entire life. I could be a bodybuilder if I wanted to.
Sure.
If I put in the time and energy and effort and all that.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Do you want to be a bodybuilder?
No.
Oh, okay.
No?
Just checking.
No way. No, thank you, not this time.
Charles's wife is a bodybuilder from Life Boost Coffee. Do you remember? He showed the picture.
Yeah.
So the thing is, it may or may not be true that it's your fault.
Yes.
You say, well, I flunked my class because my teacher was mean.
But then you can't do anything about it.
Let's say that's true. Who cares?
That's the point.
Pretend it's not true and just be like, no, it's because of me. Even if you believe it's false, like, just pretend it.
Because if you put the responsibility on the other person, you can't do nothing to fix it.
You're screwed.
The only way that you can fix it is if you can see if there's anything that you could have changed yourself to make it better, including, let's say that Aaron and I got into an argument. Which, you know, has never happened ever in our history of being together.
It's never been because of you. It's never been your fault.
Never. But if we both take the ownership and responsibility of how did I create this and what did I do to make this happen, and we were both to do that, it's very interesting how fast that disagreement gets solved. It's magic.
That's true.
That is a magical, very powerful piece of information.
And the trick is, you see, it's funny because in the fight, there's no one truth. Because if I say it's because of me, she says it's because of her. Well, which one is true? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. We're not going to judge to someone else to tell it. No.
But
in my eyes,
we're both taking responsibility.
It's funny because of me, and in your eyes, it's funny because of you.
Right. And if we
act that way, then things like don't stay a problem.
That's true.
Who cares if we went to a judge and said, the judge says, Whitney, you are correct. Aaron was wrong. And then what? And then what? And then, like, I don't know. Then you get the kids and then they have no father.
It really doesn't help anybody.
So that there is no outside judge that's going to tell you, that's going to validate your idea that it's not because of you, right?
Right.
Same thing with, like, you get into a car accident and you're not at fault. Okay, so you're going to keep getting into accidents every month or something? Like, what? Like, for you, you could say, good, for the insurance company, they could say you're not at fault, you're at fault. But for you, say, hey, what was I doing? Was I like, what happened that you got into that scenario? And pretend it's your fault. Pretend it's something you did.
Right.
Even if a judge or a court or somebody said it wasn't your fault, like, look at it another way. Because anyway, that's all. Okay, excellent. The next question.
Okay, great. That was great, by the way.
Great.
So the next question I have, I have here the phrase, don't work harder, work smarter. And that indicates that working hard is maybe less important than working with the right methods. But I also have a quote from Alex Hormozi, who seems to say otherwise. He says, people get really obsessed with optimal, which is getting the most bang for your buck. But there's also maximizing, which is just getting the most bucks.
I agree with that.
Do you find merit in either of these methods of thought?
You want me to start with this?
Yes. So, I don't even know if I'm going to comment on this one.
What? So when I was in middle school, okay, what I was most proud of, number one most proud of, was my level of laziness. And not that it was little, that it was very high. That I was extremely lazy, that I was a procrastinator. My usernames were like Lazy Aaron, Procrastinator. Like I would just, like, describe yourself. I would put lazy. And I don't want to work, right? And so for me at that point, you could say like, oh, I just wanted to work smart. Like I just want to like plant a seed and then like come back to it years later and then have all this money. I want to win the lottery. I want to do everything easy and like smart. The problem with that idea is that it's not one or the other. And we've been lured, particularly in America. I think in America, we have this thought given to us that like the dream is to not work. The dream is to retire. If your end goal in life is like do nothing, then your actions every day become doing nothing. And then little by little, then what are you doing? What's your life? The most happiness you'll find is not in doing nothing. It's in doing something that you love, that's amazing, that's productive, helping somebody, that's big. That's where you find happiness, not in just doing nothing. And even times of doing nothing, there's so much more fun if you did something great and then you had like a reward of like something that you earned and you created. That's like way nicer. Anyway, so I was the number one proponent of like working smart. And that's what I thought. Like, I don't know, I have to it'll just be figured out and it's going to happen. That comes from the idea of being afraid of work and being afraid that you're going to do bad things and maybe having done and experienced bad things in the past. And you know that like, it's going to be bad again. So why would I even try? If I'm going to do it and I'm going to fail, why would I even try? So then it's kind of like, it's a bit defeatist. Like you're going to lose.
Oh.
And so if you are okay with work and you enjoy work and you can work very hard, and as you're working hard, now you have, I don't know, 8 hours of work, 6 hours of work, 10 hours of work, 15 hours of work every day. And then you optimize. Then you can say, oh, wow, I wasted 3 hours here. I did this. I did that. But like a person who worked really smart and worked 2 hours and then a person who's working 15 hours. Well, the person who's going to win is the person who's going to work more time and be more efficient.
That's true.
Because if you're, let's say you could be working hard, you know, cutting grass every day by yourself over and over. And that's really working hard a lot. But if you're never then optimizing it, then you're going to lose. However, if you start, like imagine there's two people in a race, right? There's a guy who just wants to work an hour a day or something. And there's a guy who's like, hey, I'm going to just go out and work. And the guy that just went to go out and work, he said, I'm going to go work, you know, 14-hour days. And he goes and cuts some. He's going to make so much money immediately. And the guy working 1 hour a day is going to have nothing for years or for a long time, probably. But then, as you do this, you go, oh, who can I hire to do this? Where can I hire to do this? Okay. And you start taking that all that effort and work hard and smart. And then you're going to end up winning. And this other person, I don't know, by the time they're 25, they're going to be like, wow, I'll get my first job because I just graduated with 5 different degrees and did this. And like, now I'm really going to work smart. This other guy could already be a multimillionaire and is going to have results way better. So anyway, I think it's get going to do anything you can immediately. Get anything out that you can, take any job that you can immediately. And as you do that, you're going to learn. As you get more wins, then you get smarter and know that you should be continuing to improve. And that's the biggest thing. Working smart is know that there's always an increase. And if you're stuck, that's when you need to be like, I need to change what I'm doing. But by working hard, you're going to get something out. And then you just go, how do you keep it getting better and better and better? That's called the direction. Right? What direction are you going into? And if you focus on that, your intelligence should change your actions to make it continue to grow. And if you're also working hard, then you're going to make it big.
That's beautiful. Great.
Do you want to answer?
No.
Okay. Excellent. What do you think is more important, working hard or working smart?
I think working hard.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I also think that, if you do both, if you work hard and smart, then I think you have a much greater chance at success, because as you were already saying, if you're working hard and you're trying to figure and you're working out the systems and the methods and the best ways of accomplishing whatever the goals or purposes that you're trying to accomplish and whatever this adventure it is you're doing, whether business or personal, and you can make it more efficient. I'll just give you a real life example. When I was getting super fine tuned into my fitness, which was about 4 years ago, I was so like at the very beginning of my journey of losing, I think it was like 50 pounds after the second kid. Basically, at the beginning, I was just, you know, cutting out different food. I would weigh myself every day as a way of keeping track of, like, if I took this one out, then what would that do? What effect would that have? And I could, based on doing that, I figured out what foods would affect my body poorly or not poorly. And I became so in tune with my body that I would know what would happen if I had this versus this. And it was very, very exact, including like I was working out 6 days a week, three of which was like running 5Ks and 10Ks. So it was very, I had a very finite understanding of myself and what was going to make myself get more towards my goals or less towards my goals, and how to be more efficient with it too. If I wanted to cut and be more like muscular, I knew what I needed to do. But at the very beginning, I knew nothing, right?
But you could still work hard at the beginning.
Yeah, I had to work harder at the beginning. But then at the end, it was actually easier. It was easy. It was like I could do it in my sleep.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was not even hard to keep the weight off. It was just
And you were continuing to put in the hard work. It just wasn't hard because you were still working out all the time.
I was.
Yeah. So you're still working hard, and you also have a plan. So you do both. You're working hard in a direction. Yes. If you work hard in no direction, that's not very helpful. And let's say someone who, I don't know, if you take the body or any example, someone who works 8 hours on a task that's actually going in that direction versus someone who's doing an hour, it's very almost impossible for the 1 hour person to win, even if the other person's working worse. Unless, again, it's a very crazy in fine-tuned task. And also, the trick of this, the best way to work hard is you hire people. We're working, I don't know how many hours, multiply like 70 by 40. That's a lot of hours. That's 4,280.
Mm-hmm.
Is it 280?
1,000.
2,000?
2,800.
2,800 hours. That's how much work gets done. Do you realize that? That's crazy. Look, 40 hours a week, 70 people. We get 2,800 hours. And let's say half of them are not productive hours. I don't know, whatever amount. But like, for sure, over 1,000 hours that gets put into our companies, and that is working smart because there's a lot of hard work that goes into it. But it's hard work to put it in place, and then that gets multiplied. So if a person who has a one-person Amazon company, and they're working,
and at the beginning it was nights, weekends, every single day.
Yeah.
At the beginning it was like nights and weekends, and then after that it was full time.
Yeah. So at one point, me working alone, hard, 10 hours a day. Well, now. Now it's a lot more than that. Now it's 70, 70 times 8, let's say. It's 500 hours a day. So from 10 hours a day, if you're going to be really smart, working smart and working hard, now we have 500 hours working every day.
Right.
In our companies. So that's pretty cool, no? Yes. Like, that's really how you can work hard and smart. And sometimes it's not that hard. I mean, it is pretty hard. But I don't know. It is. That's a whole different topic. Okay.
Great. You two brought this up a couple of times, so I thought I'd bring up this question that I had, which is, by the way, Aaron, congratulations on that milestone run that you recently did.
Absolutely.
And how important do each of you consider exercise, or on a broader scale, self-care in your weekly schedule? Would you value spending more time working over spending time on self-care? Or do you consider things like diet planning and ensuring you get enough sleep every night to be a vital part of the work-life balance?
Well, I definitely think sleep and eating properly is important, so that your clarity is fully there when you're working and that you can be more efficient. I've noticed that if, like, let's say there's some alcohol and some, you know, desserts. For me personally, if I have sugar, the next morning when I wake up, I feel like a truck hit me, and it doesn't really help that much. But if I don't have those things,
let's just keep that recording. I'm going to take that clip. I'm going to have it with me.
Yes. So, anyways, that's all.
You lost your train of thought?
Yeah.
No, you were saying that when you keep track of things and you get better and you, how do you optimize your day and how do you do things to like have a successful day? What other things you need to do for yourself to be good long term?
Well, I think that it's important to have good sleep and eat well. Yeah.
Excellent.
Okay,
so when I eat like bad, and again, this is like a lot, maybe like a lot of wheat, a lot of sugar, a lot of things like that, just like bad meals. Actually, it creates a bit of like a mental fog, and I feel like sluggish and slow and not excited, or less excited. Sometimes I'll be excited anyway. I'll be over it really fast. Is it contributing? So you kind of make it like a checklist. Like, is this action helping me or not helping me? But first you have to even define what is helping. What is helping you or not, right? What are your goals? If you don't have goals defined for yourself, written out somehow, if you're not going any direction, then it doesn't really matter. If you have no direction, you can say, well, I spent time, I don't know, I literally binge watched Reacher this weekend. That was like, I don't know, 7 hours, 6 hours. Yeah. I was like, oh, I have all this time and whatever, and I literally binge watched Reacher. So it's like, okay, was that great or was it not? I don't know. I mean, it was kind of cool. What it made me think, like, okay, so that, was it helpful? Maybe, maybe not. It wasn't harmful, I would say. But it also made me think about, damn, this book is amazing. Because it's talking about a guy and a whole story about stopping people from drugs and fighting and being
putting
like
putting people's ethics in,
being smart and not
getting
putting
justice
up with, yeah, not and not putting up with like corruption and this. And it was cool and it was like a bit inspiring and it was nice and it's like, okay, good, let's get to work. So in a way, I think that could be helpful. That's like not bad, yeah. Right? But what are your goals? If your goals are like, I'm also learning because the more plots and more stories, then like, hey, when I write a book, that could be better. And it's like, okay, it's not a problem. Now, if I did that every single weekend or every single day, I'd probably be like, damn, what am I doing in my life? Like, I'm not going anywhere. But it's like, hey, that thing could be fine. Overall, you go, what should I do right now? What should I do today? And what should I do the next week? And I think planning with that time, yes, when I go on a run in the morning, if I wake up at 6:30, 6, 7, and I right immediately go for a run, I decided the next day, hey, I want to go for a run. And I go for a run, wake up, and like, boom. You know that, those days when you just like get up and you're like, boom, and like, I'm out the door immediately. No like snooze, no laying in the bed. Go fast. It just sets up the day with a win.
That's right.
And then you keep going and then it just kind of continues. And then like you're working fast, you're doing things fast. And I'm like, no, I'm not going to go and eat like, I don't know, a humongous chocolate bar or something crazy after you're in that role. So it kind of, the things all impact each other. And so, yes, like I spend a lot of time like, I love looking up the definition of words. I love checking out, like, what do things mean? What is this? How is it going to help me? And then if I feel confused, I want to look it up. Like, really? What did that person say? What are all the specifics? Because I want to understand better. So understanding, exercise, all this kind of stuff, they're all helpful. But is that the only thing you do? No, maybe sometimes, yeah. Like, I just feel like that the whole self-care thing, you know, going and for me saying, hey, I binge watch from Saturday in the morning all the way till Sunday at night. You know, four different series, and I had McDonald's delivered to my house every day, or whatever. Like, I don't know. Like, is that self-care? So it's, you have to decide what is that for you? What is it for you, right? Okay, you get a massage. Like, I like massages. I like to get a massage. I like to maybe, you know, spend time with the kids in the pool. That
but
was
I
amazing.
I can say something. Yeah, I want to say basically that, you know, the subject of self-care is so much pushed in society today. Oh, make sure you're getting your self-care. Make sure you're taking care of yourself. You're first. Yours. Mm-hmm. How you're doing, you know. Mm-hmm. Your self-care is very important. Mm-hmm. Make sure that you're okay. And I disagree. I disagree. Mm-hmm. I disagree. Because basically it comes down to a person actually writing down their goals and then making them and then achieving success. If you are achieving success, your self-care, you're going to be happy.
That's true.
You're going to be feeling like a satisfaction. The only reason why somebody doesn't feel good mentally is because they're not accomplishing anything in life. They're not accomplishing their goals, or they don't have goals that they're going forward, that they're going towards. So this self-care stuff that's coming up in this world right now today, it's just more of this like effect idea.
That's true.
It's more of this.
Did you take your meds today?
We're just all effect. We just have to be really put your energy into your self-care. You know, when I was making $20 an hour or $25 an hour 9 years ago, I wasn't thinking about self-care. I was thinking about what are my goals and how am I going to get out of this so that I can actually make a difference. So I don't have to be in a one-bedroom apartment. I was like, okay, what do I need to do?
Mm-hmm.
What do we need
mm-hmm.
to do?
Mm-hmm.
You were making $20 an hour. Actually, at the time, you were making no money.
It's true. Well, that was both.
And then you were making $20 an hour.
Yeah, it's true.
And I wasn't thinking about, oh, getting a massage. Oh, making sure I'm working out. Oh, making sure I'm not eating sugar or this or that. That's like so on the back burner at that moment, at least for me.
It's true.
I wasn't thinking about that. And you know, it's great to talk about self-care now. Sure. Now we have the time. Now I have like a second to think about it, to put my own energy into it. Okay. I can do that. Like, but when we were trying to grow our companies, like our company,
I'm trying to achieve
some
freedom.
We were trying to achieve freedom and prosperity
mm-hmm.
so that we were able to provide for not only ourselves, but our daughter that was on the way. And it wasn't about me. It wasn't about you. It was about how are we going to make this to be a successful family unit? And yeah, sure, self-care is important, but it's not like the end all. To me, that success is by far more important than anything else. And your achievement of goals is by far more important than a freaking massage or having an exact meal plan and following it. Unless what your goals are has to do with your personal appearance and you wanting to be an influencer because somehow that's what you want to do in life, and that's fine. Like, everybody has their own goals. But if that's what you want to do, then go for it and do it and get those successes and hold those successes strong. If you get knocked down, don't take that knockdown. You just keep going and you make it go right. And I just wanted to say that.
That's beautiful.
I just really just don't like this stuff about self-care. I just feel like it's the wrong target.
Yeah, it's a bit of a focus.
It's a wrong target.
Yeah, I mean, when they, like, take our kids, it's like, do you feel good today? Are you, like, that's kind of, the as you're saying, the
it's
message.
It's like an infiltration.
Yeah,
it's an infiltration into our society.
Yeah.
It's the wrong message. It's not going to help people to do better in life to tell them to go do self-care.
So I think that a big piece.
I'm just a little bit passionate about it because I want to help people do better in life. And I don't want people to have the wrong message or the wrong focus and think that, oh, now that I'm doing self-care, why am I not successful now? Because if you focus on
happy.
Self-care.
Not successful. Let's do happiness. Even happiness.
Yeah. What's going to give you happiness is the achievement of goals. The achievement of your goals that you set, whatever those are, in whatever area of your life, personal, professional, with your partner, with your dog. If you have a dog, if you want to train that dog to get some cool tricks, that could be a goal, you know? Anyways.
Yeah. And for me, like when I was growing up and, you know, my mom was somewhat wealthy, I would say, you know, she was in the probably upper middle class and I had everything I needed and I was miserable.
Right.
Like hell, miserable, like hell. All my self-care, I had whatever food I wanted. I watched any TV, I did any video games, I did anything. I had full rest. I was literally not working.
Right.
And my self-care was like, in theory, through the top. I had all the indulgences, all whatever I really wanted. I had an unlimited credit card, right?
Yeah.
And I would just eat what I want. And it's what's self-care and what's self-indulgent is like, there is a fine line there because life, you're a small part of life. There's a lot of other things. And when you actually can get your happiness, the ultimate self-care, as you were saying, Whitney, is to do something big, have an impact, reach a big goal, do something massive for other people, there's where you're going to get satisfaction. Hey, I created this thing. It's so successful, this and that, blah, blah. Like, we got that review from the Lemon Squeezer. They're like, it saved our marriage. You remember this? I was like crazy. I was like, this is amazing. You're going to have so much more happiness in your life impacting someone else's life than being like, I need to go and, I don't know, meditate for 3 hours and take a bunch of meds and, like, watch TV as, like, my recovery time. Because
If you have to deal with that as your recovery time and that has to be your recovery time, then you need to take a step back a little bit and review your life and see where are you going? What are you doing with your life and what are you trying to accomplish? Because if you're having that idea that I need to, like, have some, like, chill time for me so that I can reset, then you need to see where you're going in life and what are you trying to accomplish?
And the big piece, because
that wouldn't even be in the picture.
The big piece is, do you actually need a recovery time?
No.
Because no, but hold on. If you work like a beast 6 days a week, right? You do massive things. You're working 15 hours a day. Fine, you can have a reset time. But people nowadays, they work 40 hours a week.
I know.
In a single day, a single day, people say you work 8 hours. Now you're exhausted. You have to go rest. But you have already 8 hours of rest. And then you have sleep. Like, the normal work week of the United States, 40 hours, you do not need to rest from. If you need to rest from 40 hours a week, you are doing something massively wrong. Your job is garbage, or you're not performing, or you're confused. There's something massively, hugely wrong. Because in 40 hours of work, you already have 40 hours of rest time and then 40 hours of sleep. That's 120 hours in a week. You already have a rest time on 40 hours a week. If you're working 100 hours, 110 hours a week or something, good. A rest time can be great, can be massive. But if you need a rest from a 40-hour work week, then you need to really review either your career path, your environment, your location of a job.
Or your own sense of accomplishment or goals.
Correct. Or, like, what are you going to achieve your goal? What is the purpose of you doing that job? What is the purpose of what you're doing? Because for me, a rest time is not from a 40-hour-a-day week, because that is a tiny percentage of your life. Not tiny, but pretty small. So I would say that. Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Excellent.
Okay, fantastic. I have one last question.
Okay.
And it is, how important do you consider connections to be in order to find wealth and success?
Okay, so at the beginning, I wouldn't say it's that important. At the beginning, it's just about...
I disagree. Go ahead, boy.
Okay, so at the beginning, it's about getting started and just doing whatever it is that you want to do. If you have yourself if you find yourself in a circle of friends that you can go to ask questions, and they're like sort of your mentors, obviously that would speed up the process, I would say, by a lot. But if you don't have that opportunity, then I would say that you should just do it. And while you're doing it, while you're getting started on whatever it is that you're doing, you could see what groups that you could get into and what groups that you could join that would be in that same vein or that same line of interest that you're looking into. Let's say, on a total hypothetical example, you want to be one of the best persons or the one of the best people at growing plants. So you could research all about how to grow plants and start doing it. But then you could also join whatever plant groups and get totally into all the plant groups and, like, totally obsess about it. And you could ask questions in those different plant groups. But usually if you're in a niche and you're in an area, people are extremely helpful from what I've seen, and they do definitely, like, most people are good and most people definitely want to help another person. If you put in this more specialized group or this niche group, hey, how do you make this plant that looks like this grow? I tried X, Y, and Z, and it still looks sad. What do I do? And you put that picture in the question, and generally you'll get like five answers. At least is what I've experienced. And so that's what I want to say.
Nice. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Brilliant. So your connections, who you spend your time with, will make or break your entire life, your success, your happiness, and everything. Period. Period. At any moment, whether you're just starting, whether you're very successful, whether you're in the middle, whatever it is, who you spend your time with is going to influence your mood, your activity, your goals, what you do, and absolutely everything. If your four best friends and the people you spend your most time with are all, for lack of a better word, like losers, basically achieving nothing in life, having a bunch of losses, having fights, familial problems, work problems, complaining, drug problems, alcohol problems, and those are your closest buddies, there's two ways it can go. You will be exactly like them, or you're going to come out of that and go somewhere else.
That's very true.
Period.
So true.
Period. If all your buddies are all, like your closest buddies are all growing, doing amazing things, they're in groups, they're starting businesses, doing this stuff, working out, getting fit, doing whatever, you're going to either become like them or they're going to continue to go. Like, you will be influenced by people around you, whether you know it or not. And I have, there is something that happens sometimes when people believe, like, I'm going to go help this person. And you can and should help people. That's absolutely, even if they're worse off than you, whoever it is, yes. The problem becomes if that is the majority of your time. If you spend the vast majority of time with people who are low, suffering, and you don't also find the time to go and be inspired from someone who's above you, you're going to fall down into that. So your friends and who you spend time with is the top. And for me, Whitney, when we got together and being around you, it was not an option to continue and go down.
That's true.
It was not an option. Because when we got together, it was like new standards. Like, there's stuff I got to do now. That was that connection changed everything. And that was when, you know, none of us were making money. We're like, but it was that. If I could have easily married somebody or got together with somebody who was zero ambitions or anything. And I will tell you, if you're married with someone who has no ambitions, you will soon have no ambitions unless you drastically change that person and bring them up to then having ambitions. Like, that, you kind of merge. If you're around a lot of people down here, you're going to go down there. If you're around a lot of people up there, you're going to go that way. You kind of, the people you spend the most time with, you kind of merge into, in sort of, you each give a little bit of each other.
True.
And so, review. Do you want to be, check your two closest best friends, your one closest best friend, your four closest best friends. Do they have lives that you admire and that you like? If not, you probably need new best friends. The best type of relationships are where both of you are around a similar place and you both have a goal and you help each other achieve that goal together. So you're not vastly different. You're kind of somewhat close and you both have the same goal and you're both working that way.
I love it.
On the right direction, right?
Yeah.
And you're both in a similar phase of your life. You're both in the growth or you're in some area. Because you could also have like, oh, a millionaire blah friend and their company's going down. They don't care. They've given it up. And they're going to tell you, look, son, at your life, you'll know that like you should have just, you know, taken it easy and like law. And they hate their life, but they're quote unquote rich. Just because someone's rich or has money doesn't mean they're successful.
Right.
They could be going down their life. They could have failed marriages, failed everything, bunch of problems. Like, it's not a financial thing. It's about a state of your life. Are you in a better place than you were 5 years ago? And are your friends in a better place than you were 5 years ago or 3 years ago or 2 years ago? And then do you both want to go to this a similar place?
Right.
Then you work with each other. You have friendship because you have a team that you both want to grow. And so for me, that is the number one. I mean, there's so many number ones. I guess I probably say that a lot. But like, if your connection is the closest ones to you, it's very likely that they either will make or break your entire life. But more importantly, it's you being in that relationship because you can't blame them. We just talked about blame. I can't say, oh, it's because that person I'm not successful. No, it is because you decided to be near that person, not around any people. And that is why. It's not because of that person. They're not responsible for your life because that's another, that we just talked about that. So if you know who should I spend my time around and make an effort, because people who have similar goals to you will probably be okay to spend time with you. Just invite them. Invite them over to a game night. Do a play date. If you have kids, go say, hey, let's go to a lunch. Hey, let me help you with what project you're working on these days. Hey, can I volunteer at your place? Oh, I don't know. You could go and most people will agree to spend some time in some fashion or another. And then you could become friends. And if you guys both have the same goals, that's a good friendship.
Yeah.
And if you really felt like having, you know, friendships with a bunch of drug dealers. Like, you could do that. And by that alone, and you spend time with them, by that alone, you will end up in trouble. You're going to be in trouble with the police. You're going to be in trouble with, like, you're, it's not going to do well. So your connections will make or break your life and the connections you decide to get into, not because those connections have power over you. It's because you decided and you spent time and you dedicated to be close to them and near them. And then they share those thoughts with you and you agreed with those thoughts. Because the second they tell you, oh my gosh, I talked to an old friend of mine that's like, hey man, you got to make sure, you know, you're not working too much, right? And I was like, what does that even mean?
You asked
me. What do you mean? Yeah, I did. I brought it up because, like, it's not the person I spend time with. It was just a person I randomly spoke to the first time in the last 15 years.
Right.
And it's like, wow. No, like, if that is your idea, all your friends are like, yo, just make sure you're not really working too much. Like, oh, they're not overworking you. Like, this concept of, like, well, if you're working toward your goals, who's working? There's not, someone's not working me. I am working and I am enjoying it. So, but if all your friends have that same idea, how could you be overworking this? Whether you know it or not, at some point you agreed with it. When you were a little bit tired, when you didn't get the promotion, when you did, oh, you're right, I should really be relaxing. I need to go and do self-care for like 3 weeks before I decide to do anything else. If all your friends have those ideas, it will seep into you whether you know it or not. So anyway, connections is a make or break for your entire life.
Thank you. That was beautiful.
Your connection is the best.
Oh, thanks.
Thank you for coming onto this show and having this talk. And yeah, anyway, guys, please leave a review. Okay, review this amazing woman right here next to me. Just put in the comments, who do you enjoy listening to more? Just put, like, I love listening to Winnie. Aaron could just stop talking. And just put in the review, put it 5 stars, and I'll be very happy. And
or if you have also any questions.
Yeah, oh yeah, put your questions. Put your questions down, and we'll be happy to answer them on another show. All
yes, right. Thank you. Bye.